All right, Psalm chapter 4. Psalm chapter 4. This is, you know, these psalms are prayers, they're music, they are, and I think of that when we sing congregationals, a lot of the, when you sing as a congregation, it's almost like a congregational prayer to the Lord, and these psalms are that way. They're music, they're also prayers. Psalm chapter 4, we'll look at the whole psalm here tonight. I'm going to try to go through one psalm every Sunday night. I know some of them get longer and longer. But Psalm 4, 1, verse 1, the Bible says, "Hear me when I call, O God of my righteousness. Thou hast enlarged me when I was in distress. Have mercy upon me and hear my prayer. O ye sons of men, how long will ye turn my glory into shame? How long will ye love vanity and seek after leasing, Selah? But know that the Lord has set apart him that is godly for himself. The Lord will hear when I call unto him. Stand in awe and sin not. Commune with your own heart upon your bed and be still, Selah. Offer the sacrifices of righteousness and put your trust in the Lord. There be many that say, who will show us any good? Lord, lift up the light of thy countenance upon us. Thou hast put gladness in my heart more than in the time that the corn and their wine increased. I will both lay me down in peace and sleep. For thou, Lord, only makest me dwell in safety." Notice this first. The last verse compared to the first verse. "Hear me when I call, O God of my righteousness, as enlarged me when I was in distress. Have mercy upon me." All right, so the first verse sounds like he's in distress. The very last verse, he says, "I will both lay me down in peace and sleep." So something happens in this psalm that changes his attitude about what's going on from the first verse to the last verse. And it's a prayer, and it's really, I think, a part of your prayer life that I don't know that we talk about a whole lot. But it's peace from a prayer life, peace from prayer. And so let's pray, and I want to show you, there's an application in every single one of these verses, and so I'll try to go through them quickly, but let's pray first. Father, thank you so much for salvation, for your words, for everybody that's here this evening. Lord, thank you for good Sunday, and just another enjoyable time with church family. And Father, thank you for being good to us. I pray tonight, Lord, that you'd help me to say what you once said, help us get fed the way we need to get fed. And Father, thank you for giving us your words. I could not imagine a life without having a Bible. And I don't know where I would be, but I thank you so much for your book. Thank you for everybody that's here, and I pray you'd feed your flock tonight. And I pray this in Jesus' name. Amen. So the psalm begins, it sounds like it begins in distress, and then he ends with a good night's sleep here. It's David. This is another psalm of David. But I want to show you some aspects of, I guess it's peace in prayer, some of the peace you get from prayer, and some of the things you could ask God for in a prayer. When things are rough and you're trying to figure it out and you know, you don't get all the answers and you just, you know, that's life for us. David gets in some real jams in his life, probably worse than any of us would ever get into, but he had people after him, people wanting literally to kill him. He had armies after him. He had his own household after him, and he got into some real messes, but he really does speak many times in the Psalms for the nation of Israel in the tribulation. And you'll notice, I'll mention that, When he says Selah several times in these Psalms, a lot of that is a reference to the second coming of Jesus Christ, or the tribulation time right before the second coming. So there's prophetic, there's a lot of prophecy in here, but tonight I just want to show you some practical things about peace in your prayer life, or maybe even some things you could pray for. The first thing in verse 1, you get peace, or David gets peace here, because he realizes that in times of trouble, that's when he grew up. The verse says, "Hear me when I call, O God of my righteousness. Thou hast enlarged me when I was in distress. Have mercy upon me and hear my prayer." All right, now that doesn't mean I got in trouble and I started eating a bag of Oreos and so I got bigger and bigger and then that's what happened. That's not what he's talking about. He's talking about when I got in trouble, that's when I learned how God was stretching me. I mean, it says enlarged there. It's the equivalent to saying if you hadn't seen a cousin or someone for a long time, you say, "Man, you got bigger." You know, they were this big and now they're this big. They grew up a little bit. That's what he says. He says, you know, when in time of trouble, what I realized looking back in time of trouble is you were growing me up. You made me bigger. I mean, I got bigger. I learned some things. And so looking back on it, David finds some peace in the distress because he found out that in that distress, God would grow him up a little bit. And prayer in that time of distress is a part of growing up. You guys can probably mostly relate to this. Some of you older guys, growing up as you get to be a teenager and, you know, mom and dad are just not the smartest people in the world, and they just really don't have anything figured out, and mom and dad just really, you know, they have no idea what my life is like, and that's teenager world. And then you get a little bit older, and then all of a sudden dad becomes a little bit smarter, and mom becomes a little bit smarter, and then you understand the process. You get a little bit older, and dad's, man, I look back, and I think about some decisions my dad made, and I think, you know, I never understood all the parameters that were involved, but I look back and I say, man, he really had that thing figured out. And I had no idea at the time, you know, you just look back on the thing and you're like, man, he was dealing with that, he was dealing with that, he was running this, he was running that, he was doing that, and he was still making good decisions here and here. And so you look back, it's like, man, he just... got a lot wiser. The point is, as you get older, as a teenager, you're not running to your parents to figure things out. But as you get older, as you mature, you start going to your parents a little bit more, maybe because you realize there's some wisdom there. That the point is, running to your heavenly Father is a part of growing up. You start growing up a little bit. You say, you know what? I don't have this stuff figured out. I need some help, and I'm not only do I need help, I'm willing to accept some help. Not just, hey, Dad, let me tell you what I'm doing now and all that stuff. And no, I need some help, and I'm willing to accept it. So David understands that there's some peace in this because he looks at the distress he's in, and he realized not only is he growing up, but that running to the Lord is a part of growing up. So God will allow you to be uncomfortable, allow me to be uncomfortable. And you know why God will allow that stuff? Because you and I won't make ourselves uncomfortable. So he'll make us uncomfortable so he can grow us up a little bit. You and I will try to make our lives as comfortable as possible. And sometimes God has to intervene and make the thing a little bit distressful, make the thing a little bit uncomfortable so he can stretch us out a little bit, so he can grow us up a little bit. And David understands that. He says, "Hear me when I call, O God of my righteousness. Thou hast enlarged me when I was in distress. I grew up, I learned. Have mercy upon me, hear my prayer." So he runs to the Lord. It's a part of growing up. So the first point here, there's peace in prayer because you can realize you're growing up. You're growing up. Second thing, peace in prayer for your enemies. In verse 2, He says, O ye sons of men, how long will you turn my glory into shame? How long will you love vanity and seek after leasing? Leasing is just lying. How long will you seek after lies? I think we, as a culture, as people, as put it this way, the world loves to be told lies. And so this is a group of worldly folks. How long will you turn my glory into shame? How long will you love vanity and seek after leasing? But he's I guess you could say he's praying for his enemies. these guys are constantly throwing things at him, turning, he said, his glory into shame. He's bombarded with his failures. He is, you know what's tough? I think I've said this before. It's one thing for people to spread lies about you, but it's another thing when they know you and they spread the truth about you. You know what I'm talking about? It's another thing when they know you, and boy, that'll get in you. And you'll know, hey, these guys know me too well. He's praying for his enemies there. He's asking, you know, how long are you going to do this? How long are you going to bombard me with my faith? How long are you going to come after me? You know, I know, your enemies, my enemies, the world, the flesh, the devil, all that stuff, has no intentions of giving up. But it really doesn't make any difference when God's in it. God will let that thing last as long as he wants it to last, and as long as you maintain fellowship with the Lord, as long as he's trying to grow you up there, as long as it's something you didn't put yourself in. I mean, maybe it is, but the Lord will limit that thing to where he wants it to go, and it really doesn't make any difference what your enemy's plans are. He says, how long will you turn my glory into shame? How long will you love vanity and seek after leasing? Prayer, there's peace in prayer for your enemies, and it kind of goes along with what we were talking about this morning. There's peace in prayer for your enemies. I remember one night there was a somebody, this is years ago, so y'all don't know any of these people, so I'll just say this. Years ago, man, but there was somebody that was really bugging, to put it lightly, bugging me, my wife, our family, and there was a very contentious situation. And I had a headache. I was tired of thinking about it. I was tired of dealing with it. I was tired of just, I mean, you know, you understand. You just get sick of it. You get wore out with it. And I remember one night, I was laying there. I was thinking, man, I can either continue to, I don't know, not sulk in this thing. I can continue to play this thing over in my head. Or you know what I could do? Maybe I could pray for him. And I prayed for him, and I went to sleep. That was that. And it occurred to me that prayer for your enemies, or you know, these folks may have been friends at one time, whatever. Prayer for your enemies is an incredibly peaceful, I don't know, it's just something where you it's like I was talking about this morning, it's like you've overcome the evil. The evil's no longer able to work there. It has no more grip on you. It's like, you know what? Lord, help them, help me, bless them. You know, help. And it was just peace. And there's peace in prayer for your enemies. David prays, verse 2. Speaking to the Lord, also kind of speaking about these folks, how long are you going to do this? How long is this going to last? And then third thing, there's one in every verse here, so I'll try to get through it quick here. There's peace in prayer because the Lord pays attention. I think this is right. You guys pray because you want an answer to prayer. I mean, I don't think you're just praying because it's a religious thing to do. I think when you pray, when you talk to the Lord, it's because you're looking for an answer. You want to thank him for something. The point is, you're expecting and you believe you have the ear of God there. And in verse 3, he says you do. But know that the Lord hath set apart him that is godly for himself. The Lord will hear when I call unto him. So the Lord's listening. Now, let me, before I jump too far ahead, what is our responsibility in that verse? Who's he listening for? What does it say? Know that the Lord hath set apart him that is what? Godly. Someone who's godly. So your responsibility, my responsibility, is to be the godly individual that the Lord wants to listen to. He may not have any interest in listening to a Christian who just wants to be rebellious and just wants his own way all the time, but somebody who's interested in being like God, somebody who's interested in taking God seriously, he has an interest in that. He listens to that. Peace, because the Lord pays attention. I mean, the disciples said to Jesus Christ, Lord, teach us to pray. And the first thing out of his mouth is, we'll pray this way, our Father. Not our boss, not our manager, whatever, our Father. That's the relationship. He's trying to hear from us, trying to hear from his people. All the prayer promises, you have not because you ask not, all those things. There is so much opportunity there. It says, but know, verse 3, that the Lord has set him apart that is godly for himself. The Lord will hear when I call unto him. There's peace because, simply put, peace because the Lord pays attention. He listens. You have a God that hears. It's amazing. I mean, we folks have all these idols, these shrines, these gods set up that they can't hear, they can't talk, they don't offer anything, there's no counsel, there's no help, yet the world is consumed with idolatry and idols and things that have no power. You know, you and I worship a living God that listens. He created the ears. He knows how ears work. He made them. He has ears to listen. He has a mouth to talk to you. I know later on in Psalms it talks about idols, and it talks about the people that worship them become like these idols. They become like these gods that have no ears, they have no mouth, they have no way to talk, they have no way to listen. Peace, because the Lord pays attention. Verse 4. Stand in awe and sin not. Well, let me read the verse. Commune with your own heart upon your bed and be still, Selah. Peace in private. Peace in private. When you get under pressure, when I get under pressure, I joked about it earlier, you know, you go to the ice cream thing or you go to the Oreos or whatever. You do some things in private oftentimes. You run back to familiar sins in private that maybe nobody else knows about when you get under pressure. And what the point here is this. He says, stand in awe, sin not. When you get put under pressure, there is not only a great opportunity for growth, but there's also a great opportunity to go back to sin. And he says, stand in awe, sin not. Don't fall into temptation because of the pressure. Commune with your own heart in private. Commune with your own heart upon your bed and be still. The point is this. There's peace in a private life. Guys that get in trouble, in the ministry, I hate to even think about it, but guys that get in trouble in the ministry got in trouble in private long before they got in trouble in public. Something went wrong privately that they didn't address, and then that thing became public. So he says, listen, when you get under pressure, when things start happening, what's going to go wrong is your private life. And you need to keep your private life right before God, because if that thing goes wrong, This is where people go wrong first. Then the public life will become wrong. Peace in private. Trouble has as much opportunity for growth as it does for getting your eyes off of Jesus Christ. You need to do things, be godly, stick with the Lord, get close to the Lord when you're under pressure. Find a different escape. If it's leading you into sin, if it's dragging you into sin, find a different escape. The temptation is always to run to the old familiar rut. Just go that old familiar rut. The thing that flesh has worked its way, it's figured it out. This is the way we do it. This is the way we're going to do it. This is what I do when I feel stressed. This is how I respond. Just go to that old familiar rut. Get that truck in that rut. And he's saying, don't go back to those old ways. Keep the private life right. Peace in private. To put it simply, in verse 4, he's in distress. Don't panic. Don't panic about this. You're praying about it. Stay close to the Lord. Don't panic. Don't let the flesh take control of the situation. Peace in private. Verse 5 kind of goes along with it. There's peace in doing right while you wait. Offer, he says, verse 5, offer the sacrifices of righteousness and put your trust in the Lord. So do right while you're waiting. I mean, there are so many examples of this, but folks get in a hurry. They get frustrated with God. We get frustrated. I get frustrated with God. And then you step out into something that you know you're not supposed to do that. But it's like, you know what? This isn't working fast enough. We need to make this happen. And you get ahead of God. And then pretty soon, I mean, the first thing you've done, if you've stopped trusting God. Now, I'm going to go ahead and make something happen, which really, you're not going to make anything happen. You're going to mess the thing up. Saul did that thing. When Saul waited for Samuel. He waited for Samuel. Samuel was late. And Saul went ahead and conducted a sacrifice that he wasn't supposed to do. And he said, you know, I waited around and you weren't there. And, you know, so we were just in a bind and we just had to do something. And Samuel got onto him and he got nixed by God. Peace in prayer is doing right while you wait. Trouble is often the excuse to do wrong. I had a bad day. Okay. Well, I had a bad day too. You understand? Trouble is often the excuse for doing something wrong. Someone says, well, I had a bad day. And, well, okay, well, you don't have to act like a jerk about anything. I mean, you know, you get the idea. I had a bad day, so I went to the liquor cabinet because I had a bad day. Okay, you had a bad day. That doesn't mean you need to go sin. That doesn't mean you need to go down the old path again. What I'm saying is, trouble is often the excuse to go right to sin. Well, this thing's going on, and you know what? I'm just, you know, I don't want to deal with that. Peace in prayer, doing right while I wait on God. You know, trusting God, I think I preached on this one time, but trusting God is giving God the benefit of the doubt. If he said he wants to listen to you and hear you, he wants to hear you. If he said he's going to do something about it, he's going to do something about it. If he said to wait, wait. We get ahead of him, and trouble often becomes the excuse to do something wrong. Stress is often the excuse for sin. He says, no. Verse 5, offer the sacrifices of righteousness and put your trust in the Lord. Do the right thing and trust God. Trust God. That's peace. That's peace. And, you know, we don't trust it when we think we have a better way of handling the thing. All right, verse 6. So we've got three more, real quick. Verse 6, there's peace in prayer, or another prayer you could, a part of prayer you could pray. Lord, show me yourself in this thing. Look in verse 6. There be many that say, who will show us any good? Lord, lift thou up the light of thy countenance upon us. The first part of that is the question. People are watching. People are saying, where is God in all this? Where's the help in all this? And David responds with, Lord, show these folks where you're at in this, because they can't see you. And sometimes you and I need that. Lord, I can't see where you're at in this. I don't know where you're at. I don't know exactly how to take all this. Lord, show me your countenance so I know where you are in this distress. There be many, verse 6, that say, who will show us any good? You know, that's the just throw your hands up in the air. Where's the help? And David responds, Lord, lift thou up the light of thy countenance upon us. Show me where you're at in this thing, because I need to see you. And you know what? When the Lord is in the thing, it is so much easier. Well, put it this way. When you know where the Lord is in the thing, it's so much easier to handle the distress at hand. When you know where he's working, you say, all right, we've been here before. I know where this is going. I think I know where it's going. But I know he's been faithful here. I know he's been faithful here. I can expect faithfulness here. When you know where the Lord is in the trouble, it is so much easier to handle the trouble. But if you're in the middle of the trouble and you have no idea where God is in it, boy, that makes it tough. That's why David says what he says. Lord, lift up your countenance. Let me see where you are in this thing. And let everybody else see where you are so they know. Peace, because the Lord will show me where he is in this. I tell you, for sure, if you wait long enough, if you're faithful long enough, you'll figure out and you'll find out where God was in the trouble. You'll find out exactly how he worked through that trouble. If you'll be faithful through it, if you won't sidetrack or get derailed from it, guaranteed there'll come a day, maybe not in the trouble, but guaranteed there'll come a day where you look back and you go, okay, now I know what you're doing. Now I know exactly how you were doing this. Peace, because the Lord will show me where he is in this thing. Give it time. He'll show you. Give it time. Just our responsibility is to be faithful in the thing. Be faithful through it. I think about the disciples. You know, they're in that boat. They're thinking they're going to die. Lord, help. What are we doing? You told us to go to the other side, and the storm came, and water's in the boat, and we're in jeopardy. Where are you? And he says, peace, be still, waves calm, water calm, wind dies down. And they found out something about Jesus Christ they didn't know before. And they learned something about him that they wouldn't ever learned if they hadn't gone through the storm. And they learned it. Point is, he shows them who he is in it. He shows you and I who he is in it. And he shows where he's at work. He says, Lord, lift thou up the light of thy countenance upon us. Show me where you're at. All right, number 7 here. He gets peace that's not circumstantial peace. Verse 7, thou hast put gladness in my heart more than in the time that their corn and their wine increased. So that's typically a time of joy. You got harvest, you got the increase of the crop, you've got it's not a famine time, obviously, it's a time of abundance. People are happy, people are enjoying the time. Yet David says, you, Lord, you've put gladness in my heart more than in the time, those kind of times. Meaning the gladness you've given me is not circumstantial. I'm not waiting for all the good stuff to start happening, then I can be happy about it. I can be happy and rejoice in the Lord in a time of trouble. As weird as that sounds, I can rejoice in the Lord in a time of trouble because of all these things that I've seen that are true. I know I'm growing up. I know He's in this thing somewhere. I know He's listening. I know He hears my prayers. I know these things. And Lord, You've given me gladness more than in the days of the corn and the wine and all that stuff. My joy is no longer circumstantial. I'm not waiting for a good event to happen. I mean, I hope it happens. I'm looking forward to better times. But I don't have to wait for better times to get out of the funk. I can be joyful here. I can rejoice. Peace that's not circumstantial. I would bet you this. I think you all have probably experienced some of these things. You have found sometimes greater joy when you got down real low, things got real bad, and then God got real close to you, and you got real close to Him. And you found joy that you couldn't find. Well, if the sometimes the circumstances are good and you don't feel that close to God ever. Circumstances are good, but you feel a million miles away. But sometimes the circumstances are bad. And you just feel like down low and all that, and the Lord got real close to you. And boy, that made all the difference. I remember losing a child. You guys have experienced some of that. I remember low times. And in that time, inevitably, you're going to ask why. You're just going to do it. Just the way it is. You're going to go through all the things that grief has for you. You're going to deal with that. But I remember verse 6, the Lord shining His countenance there and giving, I remember me, Mary Beth and I would talk and sit on the swing and stuff like that, but I remember seeing the Lord in that thing, and it changed the whole picture, the whole thing. That's peace that's not circumstantial. That's peace you can't get. I mean, you couldn't buy that peace. You can't get that anywhere other than from the Lord. He says, "Thou hast put gladness in my heart more than in the time that their corn and their wine increased." And let me ask you this in verse 7. Has the circumstance changed? No. Is he still under some pressure here? Yeah. But that's what he said. You put gladness in my heart more than when the corn and the wine increased. And then lastly is peace that comes from the Lord. He says in verse 8, "I will both lay me down in peace and sleep. For thou, Lord, only makest me dwell in safety." That is a peace from prayer that only God gives. You know, again, the situation hasn't changed. We started off in verse 1, he's in distress. You get to verse 8, still the same events going on around him. But his whole perspective on the thing has changed now. The whole thing has changed. He's changed. Situation hasn't changed, but his view on things has changed. "I will both lay me down in peace and sleep, for thou, Lord, only makes me dwell in safety." I don't necessarily need the situation to change because, Lord, You're my safety. You're the one I'm trusting in. I don't necessarily need anything to the circumstances to turn for any different way. It's Here's the New Testament principle. Look at this. I'll end it on this. Look in Philippians chapter 4. You guys know this verse. Philippians chapter 4 and verse 6. You know, you can't add anything to your life by fretting. Not only don't worry, but rest in the Lord. Do what you can, rest in the Lord. Philippians 4, 6. Here is a peace that comes with prayer. Be careful for nothing, but in everything by prayer and supplication with thanksgiving, let your requests be made known unto God. And the peace of God, which passeth all understanding, shall keep your hearts and minds through Christ Jesus. That's answered prayer. That may not be the answer of a changed circumstance. That may not be the answer of a specific thing that needs to change or that you want to change. But a peace of mind. That was David. Lord, I'm in distress. Hear me when I cry. But when I look back on it, Lord, you've grown me up when I've been in these situations before. You grew me up. And then he goes through all that psalm, starting from verse 1 where he's in distress, and you get to verse 8, and he says, now I'm going to sleep. Because Lord, you're my safety. And if you don't keep me safe, I'm not safe. But if you keep me safe, who's gonna hurt me? A peace that comes from prayer. You can't add anything to your life by fretting, like I said. You get the rest you need. You're doing what God wants you to do. You'll be protected as long as God wants you to be protected. And that is, I guess, for lack of a better way of explaining it, those things contribute to a peace of mind in prayer. David looks up to God and he says all these things, and all those things deal with his relationship and his peace, and by the end of that thing he is bored. You don't keep me safe, I'm not safe, and if you keep me safe, ain't nobody gonna hurt me, so I'm going to sleep. Father, thank you so much for your words. I pray this is helpful to see this psalm in this light. Pray you'd help us with our prayer lives, Lord, that we would draw close to you in that. And Father, that we would become just better at prayer. And even the disciples said, teach us to pray. I know we need to be taught how to pray. Think about the things that David said there in Psalm. Think about those things in regard to our prayer life. And Father, I thank you again for the opportunity even to pray, to talk to you. And thank you for feeding us and taking care of us. In Jesus' name I pray. Amen.